Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come and follow me over to Ephesians chapter 6 again. We have been taking Ephesians apart so that we don't fall apart. And the goal today is to discover your priceless treasure in Christ and put on a new wardrobe. Let's call it wearing the liberator's line. As a matter of fact, I even had them put up ABC, apparel by Christ. ABC, apparel by Christ. That's what I want you to think of today. As we dig in to this topic, what are you wearing today? What are you wearing today? Maybe you tend to wear J. Crew or Old Navy. Maybe it's Ralph Lauren and Polo or Lacoste. Do you wear Brooks Brothers or Tommy Hilfiger? Maybe you are attired by JCPenney or perhaps even Wally Mart. Or there could be the ultimate clothier, Goodman and William. You remember Goodwill, of course. And anyway, there are a lot of ways that you can come up with your clothes, but I want to suggest to you that you wear the Lord's line, and I'm going to call it the Liberator's line of clothing. Spiritually, there are two forms of apparel, two types of outfits, if you'll fill in this blank. Let's do a wardrobe check right here and right now. Are you wearing God's truth or the devil's lies? Fill in that blank as we begin. Are you wearing God's truth or the devil's lie? You see, this world, we've learned as we've studied Ephesians, it's not a playground, it is a battleground, so we need to be prepared. We've got to be armored. And you've got to put on and learn to do it through prayer every day, the armor of God. Last week, a famous woman passed away. Her name was Stephanie Kwolek. Do you know her story? Stephanie Kwolek, she was an inventor. She went to work for DuPont in 1947. She was only 4'11". She was a little bitty lady, but she made a big difference because Stephanie Kwolek invented Kevlar. She was in the DuPont lab in 1964, and she had that eureka moment. She came up with a fiber that was 5 times stronger than steel. And it was revolutionary. Kevlar was initially used to replace steel in racing tires so that they could be lighter, but then they made body armor out of it. As a matter of fact, Stephanie considered her greatest achievement Kevlar because there were 3,100 police officers who were in the Kevlar Club. In other words, Kevlar saved their life. One officer was shot by a drug dealer point blank range with a 45 caliber pistol 4 times, and Kevlar stopped every bullet. Saved his life. Why? Because he was humble enough, smart enough to wear the armor provided to protect his life. Now, friend, God has provided you with armor. And I want you to be wise. This world is a battleground. We looked last week at our opponent. Our opponent is for real. And the devil is the prince of this world. He's not playing games. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. He's like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. We're soldiers of the cross. We've got to come to full attention, and we've got to get equipped and prepared for the battle. Otherwise, you are easy pickings. You are vulnerable, and the enemy will take you down and take you out. So this is serious business, friends. We're going to look at these pieces of armor, and as we do so, I want us to begin with the belt of truth. Let's start here in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6. Put on, and that word is a middle voice, reflexive. It means you do it. God is not going to dress you like you're a toddler. He doesn't hold you down, squirming and kicking and protesting and make you put this on. No, it's a reflexive. You got to do it. This is your responsibility. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, with truth. Now, you know there are six pieces of your spiritual armor, but the first piece, truth, is going to be the centerpiece. We'll add the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the good news shoes, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Those are the six pieces. And just so you can't miss it, my job as your spiritual coach is to help you get it. I want you to connect the dots. And my friend Andy Birchfield, he's a master teacher, and several years ago he did a series on spiritual warfare for his class, and he ordered this very impressive armor. Now, the first piece is the belt of truth. And this is a replica of what a Roman soldier would have worn. Now remember, Paul is writing from a prison. He's not writing from a palace. He's not on some sort of cushy bed of leisure. He's not in a hammock eating bonbons beside the Mediterranean beaches. He's in prison, and he is chained generally to a Roman soldier. So he is intimately familiar with their equipment, and he takes it and he puts it on a parallel track to our spiritual equipment that we need. And he begins with the centerpiece. It's the belt. This is the belt of truth. Now, this belt, trust me, it's heavy. And it has studs in it that are designed to protect you. But even more importantly, it's your scabbard. You see, the sword, which is your offensive weapon, is attached to the belt. Can you imagine running into battle and forgetting your sword? That would be a pretty major omission. So the scabbard attaches to the belt. Kind of reminds you of a policeman. They say the centerpiece of a law enforcement officer's equipment is his belt. His belt holds everything together. He's got his weapon, his pistol. He has his communication devices all attached to his belt. So the belt is the encircling. It is your encompassing truth that holds you together. So let's start right here as we look at what God wants us to wear. This is the integrating force of our armor. It is the belt of truth. And the design is for us to replace the lies and deception of this world with the truth of God that transcends, that is absolute, and one day you will give an accounting for what you did with His truth. Now, friends, pull in tight here. Let me tell you the greatest truth I know. We live in a world system, and particularly in a culture that has lost its moral compass. The moral compass in our day has been discarded. I mean, that's why we are in a nation that can endorse same-sex marriage. It's because we've lost our moral compass. We don't know which way is north anymore. I mean, we're in a danger zone, and it doesn't really bother me for me or my kids, but I am so concerned for my little grandkids. Because when they see TV and they hear even our president talk about that anything goes, there's a problem with that. Because you see, God tells us in His Word that His Word is what? His Word is truth. And we can't redefine it. As a matter of fact, His truth is not relative. It is absolute. It is transcending. That means it's for all people of all times. And you will give an accounting of your life against the measurement of God's truth. Now, you can throw everything that I just said away. But if you are wise, you will hear me, because this is what God's Word declares. This is not my idea, not my concept. This is the Word of God. God says, my Word is true, and my truth will protect you. My truth will set you free. But if you believe the lies and the deceptions of this world, you are unwittingly becoming a captive. So please hear me, and let's dig deep into this. And if you'll write down under the battle, this is the battle's course. I want to give you the battle's course. We are in a battle between truth and lies. And I want to tell you who the players are in this battle. This is the battle's course. Now, I've given you two boxes on your worksheet, and I know that this is going to be a little bit hard to follow, but this is so important because, you see, if you'll look under the first box where the poison is, I want you to write in the liar, the liar. Track with me. This is so important. There's a real enemy, and he is a liar. His primary method is deception. Let me take you over to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, everything is perfect. The world is velvet. Adam and Eve have it made. They are living in perfect bliss and harmony in creation and with their Creator. And then who shows up? The devil himself. And he knocks on the door of Eve's attention. And he does what he does best. He tells a big whopper lie. Do you know the essence of what the devil said to Eve? He said, God, Eve, honey, oh, darling. Oh, by the way, you're really good looking, honey. Oh, man, that you're just spectacular. And did you know that God is telling you a big lie? You see, God said you can have anything you want here, right? But he has put out of bounds the tree over there, that tree, that spectacular tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you'll eat that tree, do you know what God is? He's ripping you off. If you'll just take a bite of that apple, you'll be like God. You'll have his same power and knowledge. You'll have immortality and power. He just told a whopper lie. You see, that apple was a forbidden fruit because God knew it would hurt Adam and Eve. And it was a test of their obedience. And they flunked the test. You see, they believed the lie. Jesus said, look again on your worksheet. Remember, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning because there is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I'm telling you, friends, we live in a world filled with untruth and deception, and it's designed to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what lies do. Just a fun illustration. I enjoy outdoors. I like to go fishing, and, you know, fishing is based on deception. You dangle a little lizard or a plastic worm in front of a fish, and boom, they grab it, but they don't realize there's a hook there. I really picked up turkey hunting, and I really enjoy it. When I moved here about 1981, this guy named George Miller took me turkey hunting, and he said, Jay, what's so interesting is you talk to these animals. And he said, admittedly, it's based on deception. You'll go out on a beautiful spring morning, and the sun is arising, the dogwoods are blooming, and you give a little call. Oh, there you go. I like that. Oh, whoa. I just felt a tingle around my spine. Very good, Al. All right. What you do is when you make that little call, that's a hen purring. That's her little purr. She's waking up in the morning, and she's looking for company. And you hear that little call. It's a little sweet call. And then she gets a little excited. She starts purring back, and he hits it again. He gobbles again. And that turkey thinks he's talking to a fellow turkey, a beautiful, seductive madam hen. And he comes marching in at his best. He's just all strutting, and he is showing his stuff. And instead of having a date with a new mate, he has no fun with your shotgun. That's how it works. That's the whole point of turkey hunting. You fool him. And what's the result? For the turkey, it's death. You see, the devil is about like that, and we're turkeys. We just buy his silly lies, and we turn our back on God's truth, and like a turkey, we come strutting in, believing the lies of our culture, that truth is relative, that morality is just what you feel good about after you did it. Is that true? Of course not. We know better in our hearts. You see, the devil is a liar. And let me show you three areas in which he will tell you whopper lies about who you are to derail you in your walk with God. I've utilized a wonderful brother in Christ named Neil Anderson. And Neil Anderson is a writer, a counselor, and he has identified these three areas where we get off track and we believe the devil's lies. And then he also gives us three areas that answer the attack. But let me show you these three areas in which the devil lies so effectively. The devil's lie. Number one, under the attack, you are rejected. The devil will tell you that you are a loser, that you are rejected. And unfortunately, once we begin to believe the lie that we're a loser, we can't win, we're a reject, we're dumb, we're stupid, we can't figure things out, once we get down on ourselves, then what happens generally is we jump aboard a merry-go-round of pleasing people. You see, we just try to find acceptance in pleasing everybody. So we'll compromise our values and our standards and the things that we believe to be true because we're chasing after acceptance, because at the deep core of our being, we feel rejected. So people, I've seen it, you've seen it, will sell their body, they will sell their mind, they will sell their soul to be accepted, because somehow we all want to be part of the gang. We don't want to be left out. I'll tell you a very personal story. I have a relative, a beautiful young lady, and some difficult things happened in her life. She had a husband who proved to be unfaithful. They had a child, and this young lady was a nurse, and she was just a wonderful person. She was intelligent. She was beautiful. At one point, she told me, as her relative, that God had called her to be a medical missionary, and she wanted to use her medical skills to make a difference. So here she was, and she was pursuing some extra work and getting some other training in the medical world so that she could be prepared to do ministry and mission, even now as a single mom. Well, guess who swooped into her life? This doctor. Now, don't hear this wrong, but, you know, this young, precious relative of mine, I think she was susceptible because, you know, the doctor shows up. He's got the white coat on. He's got a lot of authority. He's got a doctorate. He's an important person. And unfortunately, this doctor also happened to be a full-blown vitriolic atheist. And they eventually moved in together. And she sold out. She was so desperately looking for acceptance because she felt at core this rejection from her husband that she sold out. And they eventually married, and they're on a very different path right now. She could not be further away from the Lord she claimed to know, love, and desire to serve. And that's what happens when you start riding that merry-go-round of pleasing other people and you forget to please the Lord. Let me tell you another one of the devil's attack lies. The devil says you are condemned, number two. Not only does he say you are rejected, you are condemned. He'll bring up past sin, guilt, and mistakes. I'll bet you can recall your falls better than you can recall your successes. We're kind of wired that way. Had a friend tell me one day, he said he was so sick and tired of the devil beating him with a memory stick. He'd made some big time mistakes and he couldn't get beyond them. They were just like in his face day and night. He was haunted by his mistakes. And consequently, he felt this sense of condemnation. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe the devil is trying to whip you with a memory stick of past failure. Several years ago, I met a tremendous guy. And he started coming to church, and he ended up giving his life to Christ, and we became very close friends, and he began to unfold a story to me. He said that he met this girl he liked a lot. He was actually a liquor dealer, and this girl was really a person, a good person, but you know, just wanted acceptance, so she moved in with him, and they were living together. Next thing you know, she gets pregnant, and he doesn't want a baby. He doesn't want responsibility. Great Scott. He's just it's a fetal tissue, and let's just get rid of it. She said, no, this is very important. This is a baby. I want a baby. He said, I'm not going to support a baby. You're going to get an abortion, and I'm going to pay for it, and we're going to do it tomorrow. So he, against her will, in a storm of tears, took her down to the abortionist, and they aborted that baby. Done deal. Forget about it. No big deal. He didn't care. He didn't have any values. Morality is just what you feel good about. There's no transcending truth in his world. And then somebody starts sharing Christ with him. He starts reading his Bible. He started coming to our church. And he got saved. He got saved in a glorious way. But the devil would keep beating him with that memory stick. When we got to be really close friends, he began to talk to me about how he constructed the killing of his own child and how that haunted him. And he wondered, how could God really thoroughly forgive him because he felt condemned? Okay, hold on to that story. I'll come back to it in a moment, but let me take you to the third attack point. You see, the devil's lie, you are rejected, you are condemned, you are worthless. That's number three. You are worthless. You see, that's what the devil says. You are nothing but trash. You're insignificant. You don't count. You don't matter. Your life won't make a difference. Several years ago, I met a guy who was a phenomenal evangelist. His name was John Shelton, and he came to Montgomery to do something called ICE, Inner City Evangelism. And I tracked this guy around. I've never seen anybody so magnetic. I mean, the guy could just walk down a street and draw a crowd of kids or teenagers or adults. And he had this, he called it the gospel seed bag. He looked kind of like Jack Bauer. He was this really cool looking guy. But instead of having C4 in his bag and a bunch of weapons, he had the gospel. And this guy was just, man, he was just passing out the gospel to everybody. Never seen anything like it. Well, so many people came to Christ, and he began to tell me a story of how he had a wife who was unfaithful, and he was in the ministry, and he just felt so worthless. And yet God stepped back into the middle of his life, and he said he brought to me a sense of deep significance, and he made me into an evangelist. The devil whispered these hissing lies, you're disqualified, you're unworthy. But he said, finally, I recaptured my identity in Christ. Well, let's move from there to the answer, and jot down these answers real quick. This is huge. Here are the answers. And it comes when you put on the liberator. The liberator. That's what you want to wear. The liberator's line of armor. And the liberator is none other than Jesus, who made this declaration, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, here's the answer. It's God's truth. And please make these three counterpoints to the attack. God's truth is you are accepted. You're not rejected, you are accepted. And if you go back to Ephesians 1:4, we've already learned that he chose us in Christ. So live holy. Do you remember what it was like when you were a kid in elementary school and you would choose up sides to play kickball? I love that. And then it was just magic when they chose the team captains, and all of a sudden you heard your name ring out above the crowd. I choose Jay Wolf. Oh, man, that just made you feel so good to hear your name called. Everybody liked that. Every elementary kid wanted to be chosen on the team. Friends, that's how we're wired. You want to be accepted. And the Bible teaches us that in Christ you have been accepted into God's family now and forever. But look at the other great truth. You are secure. Number two, you're not only accepted, you are secure in Christ. Why? Because you have been forgiven. You can be blameless now and holy because in Christ you are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Your security is based on his forgiveness. That's why you can wipe it out. Do you remember the story of the guy who made his girlfriend get an abortion? They later married. And ironically, they couldn't have children. And oh, this guy was so beaten up by that. And he would, every time we would talk, he would just remember, and he would relive, and he would retell this horrible story, and God is punishing us. I said, oh, no, brother. No, in Christ there is now no condemnation. You are secure in Christ. Why? Because you are forgiven to tetelestai. He's wiped it out. He's paid for your sin, past, present, and future. That's untrue. You're believing the devil's lie. And it was as if he thought his sin was in some sort of special category. And I finally said, brother, this is the height of arrogance to think that your sin is so large that God can't forgive it. That's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. You're not that special. Come on. God can forgive anything. That's what makes us secure. And one more. You see, you are significant. You are significant. Number three, you are accepted. You're secure. You're significant. Why? Because you were created in the image of God. We learned that in Genesis 1, verse 26. You were created in God's image. That gives you worth, value, and dignity. But then you've been recreated and born again into the kingdom of God. And we learned in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that now, as a recreation in Christ, you are the temple of God. You're not trash, you're His treasure. And His Spirit dwells in you. You are His living, holy temple. Now, let me help you. I want to give you some study for home. On the back, this is Dr. Neil Anderson's work. And on the back, it declares, I am accepted, I am secure, I am significant. And I want to urge you to embed these titanic truths in your spirit because they will transform you. This is the truth of God that will set you free. Well, a couple of last observations and we're through. Please note that this is so important. This discussion is so important where the star is because beliefs become behavior. Your beliefs become behavior. Friends, it works like this. If you think that you are rejected, you reject others. If you think that you are condemned, you condemn the other people around you. If you think that you are worthless, well, so is everybody else. So you feel free to use them and abuse them. But if you believe that you are accepted, then you do what it says in Romans 15:7. You accept one another as Christ has accepted you. You are an acceptor. You are an includer. If you believe that you are secure because you are forgiven, then you can extend forgiveness to the people about you. If you believe that you are significant, that you have worth and value, then you ascribe worth, value, and dignity to everybody you encounter because everybody deserves that. You see, your beliefs govern your behaviors. So it's so important that you understand who you are in Christ. Well, we've been talking about the battles course, and we'll finish with the believer's resource. Would you make that last note? Number two, the believer's resource. It matches up with the battles course. Now, here's the believer's resource. It's the truth of God. It's God's word. Look in John 17, verse 17. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, when you become part of God's family, He inhabits you, and He transforms you with His truth. But do you know what this word is? This word is truth. And if you will unleash God's transforming truth in your life, He will carve away the lies. That's what He's done for me. You see, when I gave my life to Jesus, I started ingesting the truth of God's word, and the truth of God's word will transform anybody. Now, friends, please remember, the devil is out there. He is real. He is trying to pull you down. St. Francis said it best. He said, if you keep God's company, you will learn God's character. I love that. If you keep God's company, you will learn God's character. And at core, God's character, is it truth? Of course. He is truth. I had a bank teller give me this illustration one time. They said, there are a lot of counterfeit bills, and the most counterfeited bill is a 20. And this teller said, over the years, I've handled countless thousands of bills. And I know some of the details about counterfeiting. They make us take courses and read literature. But for me, it's this simple. And she said, I've caught plenty of counterfeits. But I've handled so many real bills. And a real bill is made out of a special fiber. It's not just paper. It's a special material. She said, my fingers are so familiar with what is real that the counterfeit stands out. You see, if you spend time in His company, you will know His character and you will reproduce it. You will be transformed into the image of Christ. So here is my last thought. Here's my appeal. The take-home point is, do you need to change clothes? Do you need to change clothes? Maybe you've been wearing the devil's dress of deception, but God invites you to wear the liberator's line of truth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your transforming truth that invaded my life a long time ago and put me on a brand new trajectory. Lord, I just shudder to think what I would become and how I would be without your transforming truth. I would probably be in Ken Brothers' prison ministry. But Lord, you invaded my life and you changed me. We know that Satan is the prince of this world and he tells lies. He's the father of lies. So we ask that you saturate us with your truth. Teach us how to wear every day your protective belt of truth. And we ask, Lord, that your truth would be magnetic and draw people to yourself today. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.